The Specials Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, everybody. Welcome along to the Specials Podcast. Another week and more betting to be had on Strictly Come Dancing on X Factor, and it starts this weekend. I'm a Celebrity. Get me out of here. Later on, we'll be speaking to Daniel Gould from SofaBet about X Factor. But first up, let's talk to Reality Rob Dixon. Hello, Rob.
Good afternoon.
And Andy Holding. How are you doing, Andy?
Afternoon, guys.
Andy, you're at Cheltenham. You've got racing to watch and work to be done, so we're not going to keep Andy for too long today. I'm going to get his thoughts on the outrights and also, of course, on the elimination and the highest scorer betting this week. Let's start with the outrights, shall we? This week in Strictly, Jay McGuinness, of course, is 4-7, still right out there in front as the favourite in this market. George May Foot, 11-2 now. Peter Andre, 8-1, Anita Rani 12s, Helen George 14s, Katie Derham 16-1, Kelly Bright 20s, Jeremy Vine 66s, and Jamelia now the rank outsider at 100-1. Andy, a little review of last week, I guess. What did you think of it?
Yeah, as predicted, I thought Peter would do really well, even though he's not a really serious contender for the overall prize. But obviously he did a really good Charleston. Whether it was quite worth the amount that he got, I think he got 38, didn't he? Basically, yeah. What the judges are saying, that Charleston was better than Jay's Jive, which of course is absolute nonsense, which makes a little bit of a mockery of Jay's Jive early on in the season. But either way, Peter obviously was really good and a thoroughly deserved winner. But no great surprise to see Georgia follow him home in the top point scoring market as well. And as I intimated last week, she's very much coming up on the rails. But it's basically a formality really now for Jay. I mean, all he's got to do is stay injury free, because he's a bit of a juggernaut. He has been all the way through. His YouTube hits are still good. His polls are really good. You know, he's been 40-50% clear of the rest of the field all the way through. He's such a likeable character, and his dancing is just as good as well. So it's just a case of bookmakers covering up their liabilities and ducking for cover, and perhaps dangling a few of the carrots for some of the bigger price ones to get a bit of money back.
You mentioned Georgia there, 11-8 to be top female. Anita Rani 7-2. Helen George, who actually, if you look at the averages, sits at the top of the points total, 31.7 she averages, which is the best in the competition behind Jay and Aliona. But she's quite a long way down in the betting there, Andy. You just mentioned you like Georgia May Foot. Would you still recommend backing her at 11-8?
I do. I think she actually go odds on after this weekend. I'll get onto the top point scorer in a second and what she's doing. But as I mentioned last week, if you didn't already get on at the 5-2 advice for Georgia to be top female, I think you need to start pressing up now and looking even more so at the 11-8, which is available. Because I still think that's a good value bet, because they're gradually beginning to work out a bit of a pecking order, and one or two of the better females are beginning to drop away, including Katie, who's obviously not so good as she was in the early part of the series. Kelly, who got herself into the dance-off, sitting in that middle horrible zone last week with the 32 doing the waltz. And, you know, Anita, albeit she's doing quite well, she hasn't really gone beyond the heady heights of 32. She's not really hitting it out of the park. Whereas George has very much got similar symmetry to what Caroline had last year. Starting off quite slowly, the expectations were high, but she wasn't scoring really well. All of a sudden, in the last 3 or 4 weeks, her personality shone through. The chemistry's there with Giovanni, which it always has been. And not only that, her dancing has become a lot more proficient. I thought she was fantastic last week in doing a brilliant rumba. And any other week, that would have been top score. And of course, she's doing the Charleston this week, which, like Peter Andre did last week, is going to be one of those show-stopping dances we're going to be talking about.
6-4 to be high scorer then, Andy. Let's go on straight onto that market. Jay McGuinness is priced up at 9-4. Then you got a big jump up to the rest of them. Jay and Aliona are doing the Foxtrot this weekend. And as you said, Georgia and Giovanni doing the Charleston. Two-horse race in the betting. And you've already nailed your colours to the mast there with Georgina.
Well, even without seeing her on the It Takes Two coverage this week in the training room, as soon as I saw the dances and what they were doing, I was all over Georgia, no matter what price she was. But having obviously, on top of that, seen how good this Charleston is going to be, it just depends where she's in the running order. Obviously, the later the better. I mean, don't forget, Peter went out first last week and still got top score of the Charleston, such is how good or eye catching this dance is. So if you do it to a very, very high standard, you put your own spin on it, obviously with the, your own little quirky interpretation of the dance, then you're going to get even more praise off the judges. And I just think Georgia and Giovanni are just going into another stratosphere at the moment. And this is going to be the dance of the weekend, without a shadow of a doubt. I think 6-4 is actually not a bad price, even though that's one of the shortest prices on offer we've seen of the series so far. And I expect her to score really big. She could actually get a 10 this week. And I don't expect any of the other contestants to get anywhere near her.
Let's finish off with the seventh elimination market. Whoever gets through this week gets to go to Blackpool, of course. Jamelia is the 4-7 favourite to go this weekend. Jeremy Vine 100-30, Katie Derham 6-1, Kelly Bright 10-1, and 20-1 and bigger the rest of them. Last week, Andy, yourself, Rob, and I talked for about 10 minutes, I think, on the elimination market, but we got there in the end, and actually, we kind of drilled right into it. Unfortunately, we haven't got that kind of time this week. But do we need that much time? Is it the argument we said last week for Jeremy surviving was that they want him in Blackpool and people love his, you know, love his style of dancing, as daft as it may be. I mean, he's got the quick step this week with Karen, hasn't he?
To be honest, Lee, it doesn't really matter what Jeremy's dancing.
Yep.
I just think the public are that much behind him at the moment. And he's probably one of the talking points of the whole series. The BBC and all the voters will do everything they possibly can to get him to Blackpool and as far as they can deep into the series. It wouldn't surprise me if he got down to the last four or five or even, dare I say, get into the final because he's that popular. I think he is almost the find of the year, really. If Jeremy went off, it'd be an absolute travesty. I think a lot of people would be turning off because Jeremy's not there to watch because he's so entertaining. But getting on to the elimination, yeah, I think Jamelia's going to go. I think the betting's right. You're not going to get fat on taking 4-7, but if you are looking for a bet, there's only really one way you can look because there's no way Jeremy, the worst dancer, is going to be in the bottom two. Because of his popularity. The only slight question mark is who's going to go in the bottom two with Jamelia.
She's doing she's doing the samba, isn't she, Andy? So you wonder if, you know, what the quality... I mean, she's been under 30 for the last 3 weeks. She's been in the bottom two three times in the series already. So is there any chance she can beat anyone in the dance-off, though?
Well, not really, no, because I think all the others are such a high standard that I think it's going to be trouble for her. I mean, she's doing the samba, but she hasn't really looked comfortable this week in training. It's almost as if she's got to where she's gone. Yeah. She knows exactly. Yeah. Her body language is not great. She's not really throwing herself into the dance. It's going to be a bit of a scrappy samba, and she can't afford to do that at this stage in the series. She's only getting very low hits on YouTube, down to an all-time low of hers as well. The percentage for the likability is not great either on the digital spy polls. Everything stacks up for Jamelia and Tristan to go. She's got us probably about as far as she got, and obviously she got the sympathy bounce last week because she was, she talked herself up the week before saying that no, you know, the public don't like her. So she's got herself through another week. I'm afraid this week she's definitely going to go.
Yeah. Well, Rob and I will have a little discussion about who we think is going to be in the bottom two with her. We've kept you longer than I said I would, Andy. So thanks very much for your time, and good luck with your Strictly bets this weekend.
Yeah. Keep following Georgia. That's the main topic this week.
Cheers, Andy.
Cheers, guys.
Andy holding there on his Strictly bets. That was rapid, Rob. Sorry to keep you in the wings there, Rob, but he literally had 5 minutes, so I wanted to keep him going.
I'm happy watching the cricket, to be fair.
That's absolutely fine. Rob's obviously been listening along to that. Hard to argue with much of what he said. I tell you what I do fancy. I fancy that Anita Rani will be in the bottom two with her, also doing the quick step. She's the lowest averaging dancer of anyone that's left, bar Jeremy and Jamelia, and we've already talked about Jeremy's his kind of appeal, if you like. She's like the forgotten woman, Anita, isn't she? We mentioned that last week. I could well see her being in the bottom two, and then her being sucked into that kind of into that situation next week of being, you know, how is she going to get out of it? She just seems to be, you know, look at her scores: 27, 27, 29, 27, 32, 29, 34 last week, admittedly, but she's usually under 30 points.
Yeah, from what a few weeks ago was quite a sort of close run thing, it's the female market sort of turned on its head the last couple of weeks. Georgia Mayfoot, as Andy said, has probably been the standout. She's the one that the show sort of want to push. She's probably the only real rival to Jay not winning. I don't think the outright is clear cut, as Andy was saying. That's the only thing that I think there's quite a good feeling for Georgia to win. I think that Jay could have been maybe gone off a little bit too quickly. Mm. And Georgia's sort of working through the gears as we speak now. But
I'm presuming Andy wouldn't be backing him now at that price.
He's talking
from the perspective of a man who's definitely got him at a good price, isn't he? So if you're listening to this and never had a bet, you can't touch Jay, can you?
No, but you've got, Georgia's gone clear of Helen and Anita, very similar. They seem to produce solid performances week in, week out, but they never get the standout performance. They never really have their sort of moment in the spotlight as you've seen Jay, Georgia and Peter have in recent weeks. A bit of a surprise for me that Kelly Bright was in the bottom two last week. I think a little bit had something to do maybe with the fact that this EastEnders thing, the fact that she probably won't be going on the tour might sort of work against her. And unfortunately for them, they probably wanted somebody else in other than Carol. I think they've had no choice but to get rid of Carol last week. But if she'd have been in maybe with a Katie Derham or definitely an Anita, then maybe Kelly would have gone last week. I think Kelly avoids the bottom two this week. I'm not overly convinced that Katie Derham does, though. She's doing a Romba, and Romba tends to be a dance where you get a sort of low score, and it's a bit of a struggle. So, apart from that one week where she's top scored, but her scores have been sort of very disappointing. And you'd feel this week where Jamelia will definitely get a sort of higher score than her. And really the scores have dropped ever since we saw the sort of Daily Star leak that she'd got she was winning the public vote. She was winning the public vote.
Let's talk X Factor, and I'm delighted to say that Daniel Gould from SofaBet.com is on the line to have a chat about the outright markets and the next elimination. We'll get into all the where's and why for's as we progress through the rest of the series, because anyone who reads SofaBet.com will know that the conspiracies that are unveiled not only in the articles but in the comments are a joy to behold. Daniel, thanks for coming back onto the podcast. Pleasure to have you on.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here as always.
Let's talk about the outrights first of all, and get Daniel's opinion, because I know a lot of you will be interested to hear what he thinks of the betting. We've been talking about how short Louisa Johnson is all the way through the series. She's 6-5, Che Chesterman 11-4, Lauren Murray 8-1, 9-1 Reggie and Bolly, 4th Impact 12-1, Anton Steffens is 14-1, 20s Max Stone, 40s Monica Michael, and 50s Mason Noyes. It's between the top two in the market here, Daniel, isn't it? Louisa and Che.
Yeah, I kind of agree. My idea of the three finalists, which we talked about on the website midweek, was Louisa and Che and one other. And our idea is that Anton is a kind of big character and talking point will be the other one who comes third in the final. But, I mean, so far, producers have made it pretty clear they've done everything for Louisa and Che in those first 2 weeks. The song choices are good for week three. And everyone else has kind of got question marks against them. So I agree, and unfortunately the market's got it about right.
Yeah, that's always a nightmare, isn't it? When the traders like Rob get it spot on. The elimination market, there's been a lot of chat about Monica Michael, and obviously she was the wild card anyway. And there was a lot of people thinking she'd go last week, especially given what they did to her. She didn't. She's 7-4 to go this week, though. Mason Noyes, 5-2. Again, people were convinced he'd go, and he was obviously the man who sung off against Sean Miley Moore, and shock horror, the better singer goes. We've seen that a few series before, haven't we? Max Stone, 7-2. Lauren Murray, 10-1. So it's really those first three in the market. Max Stone is the kind of most boring man alive, it seems, but with some support from somewhere.
Yeah, well, he appeals to the kind of demographic that votes on X Factor. He's a clean-cut white guy with guitar who has got a nice voice. So, grannies will like him. You know, the aspects of the female demographic will vote for him. But you're right, I mean, he hasn't got the X Factor. He's the anti-X Factor.
What about Mason Noyes? I mean, it struck me he was the bad boy. He said sorry. Then he kind of went back to his kind of arrogant ways last week, and that didn't go down well with the public, did it? They need to go back to the kind of humble Mason, don't they?
Yeah, there's a kind of confusion. There's mixed messages around what they're trying to tell us with Mason. This week's song choice from Men in Black is it's not a very interesting tune, so it'll be all about the visuals rather than the vocals, which might be a good thing in Mason's case. So I'm looking out for the staging. How big will the production be? And that will tell me how much they want to keep him around for another week.
And Monica Michael, at the top of the market, do you think the market's got it right here as well?
I do, unfortunately, because that last week was the biggest hatchet job I've seen so far this series. And I could have written much more than I did about it midweek. Mm. It was the most reminiscent of those massive hatchet jobs in 2011. And here she is the following week, given the song that was the most iconic of those hatchet jobs, which was Bang Bang, which brought down Sophie Habibis in 2011. So that, on top of how they treated her last week, means that she has to be favourite in my book.
Just in general, this series so far, it strikes me that that they seem to be lurching from week to week. I mean, you had Simon Cowell this week tweeting out, asking fans to give their thoughts on themes for the week, which is fair. And, you know, people do use social media, but there doesn't seem to be any... It doesn't seem to be as, I don't know, as solid as it usually is. It seems to be very piecemeal, doesn't it, the production?
Exactly. Another word I'd use about it is desperate.
Yeah. Or shambolic, maybe, I was looking for as well.
Yeah, there's just a sense that they're not, you know, they're making it up as they go along. You know, to bring Monica Michael back as the wild card and to celebrate her triumphant return in week one and then to treat her the way they did in week two is indicative of that.
Rob, you've been listening quietly in the background there. Any disagreements on what Daniel said there for the elimination?
No, not really. I lost so much money backing Monica personally last week ago, and when she got called out, then I almost want to go in again. Daniel's is absolutely right what he says about the Bang Bang and the Sophia Beavis thing, and I probably should have waited another week because she's probably better value this week to go than she was last week. Likely, I think it's confirmed a double elimination again. Who goes with her could be a tricky one, though, because you just don't know where it's going to go with Sean Miley Moore going last week. I think the producers maybe just saw a chance to get rid of him while they could. I don't think they see Mason Noyes as any sort of threat, really, but maybe Sean Miley Moore was a threat to their sort of perfect Louisa Che final that they wanted. Who's in danger this week? Lauren Murray, I would probably fit at the bigger price of those three, then I think Lauren Murray at 10-1 might find herself in a sing-off. I think she'd be all right. I can definitely see her sort of being in the sing-off come Sunday night.
Mm, yeah, who would you go for if you were looking for a bigger price, Daniel?
Yeah, if we're looking at the bigger prices for bottom three, then the two that come to mind are Lauren Murray, who's also got a song which got someone eliminated in a previous series of X Factor. Craig Colton sang License to Kill and got eliminated that week. And Lauren Murray this week is singing License to Kill. It strikes me as a bit more of a softening up of Lauren rather than a kill. It often takes more than one week to get rid of someone, to soften them up, and that might be the case with Monica this time around. Last week was the softening up. It was a pretty harsh one, but, you know, it means they're more likely to get their target this week. So my sense is that might happen with Lauren. The other act to consider in the bottom three are Fourth Impact, who for me haven't made much impact in the live shows. So, and given the kind of hoopla and hype surrounding Reggie and Bowley, there is a question of who is the most favoured group. So I can't see Fourth Impact picking up any floating voters over the last couple of weeks. I think the vocals have been noticeably poor. So they're the other act to consider if you're looking for a bigger price.
It's going to be fascinating as ever this weekend. We'll have more time to talk to Daniel next week, a bit of a truncated podcast this week, but we'll get into some of the whys and wherefores next weekend. Make sure you check out the sofabet.com website, though, or follow them on Twitter. Do both, in fact, at SofaBet, and you get all the links to the articles on Twitter as well. Daniel, thanks very much for your time. Well, like I say, we'll talk a bit deeper next week, but enjoy the X Factor this weekend, and good luck with your bets.
Many thanks, Lee. Looking forward to it.
That's X Factor done and dusted then. Let's have a look at I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. I'm not going to spend too much time on this one because we've got the contestants and it's pretty difficult to pick who's going to win so far. Tony Hadley, 3-1, the favourite. Big bet on him. Obviously, ex-Spandau Bally, 40-somethings, don't know who he is. No one knows him, basically, if you're in your 20s to 30s. I've asked in the office, who? George Shelley, 4-1. George Shelley's Union J. They came fourth in X Factor, so aware of how to use the public, I guess. Georgie Porter, 4-1. Hollyoaks, leaving in 2016. Also, FHM. She was dancing on ice, got to the final, of course, beaten in the final. Chris Eubank, former middleweight, super middleweight boxer, 9-2. To call him an extrovert is probably an understatement. Duncan Ballantyne, 10-1. I suppose the first question will be if he's first out. Yvette Fielding, ghost hunter, but scared of everything, 12-1. Brian Friedman, 14-1 of X Factor creative fame. 14-1 for ex-footballer Kieran Dyer, who's famous for having a scrap with one of his own teammates, and 25-1 Lady Colleen Campbell. Just Google her. I don't want to go into the background there. Finally, from Trini and Susanna, 25-1. Rob, the big money has been for Tony Hadley, hasn't it, so far?
Yep, definitely. So
25 grand on him.
Tony Hadley's the one.
Wow.
We sort of want to avoid now, so we're sort of docking Tony at least for the first few days of the show. Let's see what he's up against. I mean, we had a short price favourite last year in Jimmy Bullard about this time, and I was told that Jimmy Bullard was going to win quite easily, and he failed quite early on. Chris Eubank's the one for me, 9-2, extroverted figure, probably as extrovert as you could get. I think he will be TV gold in this field, to be quite honest. I can see him getting the most challenges, but I can see him at least having a go. But I think Chris Eubank on this will be absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, he will be, absolutely. That's it. It's been a bit of a shortened specials podcast this week. But I like this new sharper style, Rob. It's good. It's like bang, bang, bang. So thank you very much to Andy Holding. Thank you very much to Daniel Gould as well from SofaBet. Thanks to you as well, Reality Rob, as always.
Thanks, mate.
All the other prices available and all the other specials on the website, so check them out. And we'll be back next week for more of the same. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's @reality_Rob. I'm @LeePhelps. And we'll be talking specials all weekend. So if you haven't bet on any of the X Factor, Strictly, or I'm a Celeb markets, very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.